Let's read together Philippians 2, verses 17 through 24. In these verses, we have two examples given of Christians who have followed the model of Christ in his self-giving attitude. One example is the Apostle Paul himself, and the other example is Timothy. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 17. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. For you know his proven character, that as a son with his father he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. All right, let's look at a few background notes, first of all. The letter to the Philippians is one of Paul's four prison epistles. The others are Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. These so-called prison epistles were written from Paul's first Roman imprisonment, which was really a house arrest, and you can read about it at the end of the book of Acts. Well, when Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, about 10 years had gone by since the church was founded. The church at Philippi was founded on Paul's second missionary journey. You read about that in Acts chapter 16. You remember the conversion of Lydia and her household, and the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his household. Household, by the way, means more than just the wife and the kids. It included the servants as well. So that would be the beginnings of the church at Philippi. Acts 16 and verse 40 seems to indicate that the church at Philippi first met in the house of Lydia. Acts chapter 16 and verse 40. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. This was after Paul and Silas, you remember, were released from prison. Now about 10 years has gone by since the church was founded. And during that time, Paul and his missionary team visited the church at Philippi more than once on the third missionary journey. Sometime after Paul's visits to Philippi on his third missionary journey, a problem causing disunity began to take place at Philippi. We don't know what the problem was. All we know is that it was not a major doctrinal problem. Otherwise, Paul would have dealt with it in no uncertain terms in this epistle. So it was either a minor doctrinal issue or a non-doctrinal matter. But as you know, many times it's the little things that cause disunity in the fellowship. Small disagreements can grow and even split the church. In any case, throughout this epistle, Paul is urging the Philippians to come to unity. And here in chapter 2, we have that great Christological passage about the self-giving attitude of our Lord Jesus, who gave up the glories of heaven and came to this earth and took on humanity and went to the cross and died. Even death on a cross. He died for our sins. But I want you to notice how this wonderful, Christ-exalting passage is in a very practical context here in chapter 2. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, let this same self-giving mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then you have that great passage where we see the self-giving attitude of our Lord Jesus. So it's on that basis, the self-giving attitude of Christ, that the Apostle Paul moves on here in chapter 2 and tells the Philippians in verse 12 to work out their own salvation. Not work for their soul salvation, but more work out the solution, deliverance to the problem of disunity. Now in the verses that we've just read, Paul gives two examples of Christians who were following that self-giving pattern that we all should follow. The example of Paul and the example of Timothy. And that brings us then to our two doctrinal or teaching points from this passage. Doctrinal point number one, a gracious concept of fellow believers tends toward unity. A gracious concept of fellow believers tends toward unity. We see this truth taught in the example of Paul here in verses 17 and 18. Let's read those verses once again. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Notice the concept that Paul had of the Philippian believers in comparison with himself. He was a drink offering, and they were the sacrifice. Now, what was a drink offering? Under the Old Testament sacrificial system, a drink offering was a container of wine which was poured out on the regular sacrifice. It was considered a sweet aroma to the Lord. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 15. Now, the important point here is that the drink offering was not the sacrifice, but an addition to the sacrifice. In other words, Paul viewed the Philippians as the big sacrifice, and he viewed himself only as the small drink offering that was added to their sacrifice. Now, that is a gracious concept of fellow believers. If every believer had such a concept of themselves, there would be fewer problems of disunity in our churches and fellowships. How gracious is your concept of fellow believers? Do you see yourself as the great sacrifice to the Lord and the other believers are the drink offering on your sacrifice? Or do you see yourself as the drink offering, but the other believers as the sacrifice? A gracious concept of fellow believers tends toward unity. Remember what we read back in verse 3 of this chapter. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. It's not that others are more important than you are, but you're to consider it that way. That's what Paul did. His concept was that he was only the drink offering. The Philippian believers, they were the sacrifice. That's the way we should view our fellow believers. And notice that Paul did not hold this concept reluctantly or with a grudge. No, he says there in verse 17 that he's glad and rejoicing, and he's urging them to do the same, as we see there in verse 18. What an exhortation for us. Do you want unity in your fellowship? A gracious concept of fellow believers tends toward unity. Doctrinal point number two, a genuine concern for fellow believers tends toward unity. A genuine concern for fellow believers tends toward unity. Now we see this truth taught from the example of Timothy here in verses 19 through 24. Remember, Timothy had been with the Apostle Paul when the church at Philippi was founded. And Timothy had visited the church several times. And now Paul plans to send Timothy to Philippi once again. See there in verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. And verse 23, therefore I hope to send him, that is Timothy, at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me, namely how his court case would be decided. Notice that Paul particularly wants to know how the Philippians are doing in reference, you see, to this problem of disunity. He's sending Timothy. In fact, he says in verses 23 and 24 that he himself hopes to follow Timothy. That is, when he's released from his prison situation. You know, I think if I was a Philippian believer involved in the cause of the disunity at that church, I'd be motivated to get my act together, knowing that a personal representative, Timothy, was coming from Paul, and that Paul was coming a little later. And notice what Paul says about Timothy here in verses 20 and 21. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Timothy, you see, had a genuine concern for his fellow believers at Philippi. Paul says, everybody's out for number one, but not Timothy. Timothy has a genuine concern for you, his fellow believers, there at Philippi. No wonder Paul was sending Timothy to help settle this problem of disunity. Timothy not only knew the Philippian believers, and they knew him, but he had a genuine concern for them. And a genuine concern for fellow believers tends toward unity. Do you have a genuine concern for your fellow believers? Or is it just tokenism? You want a good test to see whether you're genuinely concerned for your fellow believers? It's not how much you do for your fellow believers that others can see. It's more what you're doing for your fellow believers that people can't see. For example, how much time do you spend in private prayer for your fellow believers? Not public prayer. If you spend a significant amount of prayer time praying for your fellow believers, especially those who rub you the wrong way, then you can be sure there will be more unity in your fellowship, because a genuine concern for fellow believers tends toward unity. What about practical application? Practical application number one. As sacrifices, let's not call all the shots. As sacrifices, let's not call all the shots. We've seen in this passage that the right concept is to view ourselves as sacrifices. Better yet, as the drink offering poured out on the sacrifice. Now let me ask you a question. Does a sacrifice push its weight around and manipulate others and call the shots? Of course not. It's a sacrifice. Well, what about us? Do we like to push our weight around in the fellowship? Do we like to manipulate our fellow believers? Do we like to call all the shots? If you do, then you don't have a biblical concept of your importance, and you can be sure there will be disunity in your church or fellowship. Remember, as sacrifices, let's not call all the shots. Practical application number two. As servants, let's try to serve as children. As servants, let's try to serve as children. Look what Paul says about Timothy there in verse 22. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel. Now, that's quite a recommendation, isn't it? I'm sure those of you here this morning who are fathers with sons can appreciate what Paul is saying here. I remember how my own sons growing up loved to help me in home projects. Not for pay or ulterior motives. No, they were happy helpers. They were excited and enthusiastic. Is that the way you are when you serve your fellow believers? Or are you a grouch and only serve reluctantly? Or maybe you want to get paid for Christian service. There's no excitement or enthusiasm or real service. It's only a job for you. Remember, as servants, let's try to serve like children.